Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you, O God, for what is contained in your word. And we pray for that word to grow in us, to bear fruit in us, O God, that truly, Lord, we will be a testimony, O God, of all that you have opened to us through your word. Bless us, O God, that we may understand the realities of your word. Bless us, O God, that we may do the things that you have called us to do, Father. Remove from us every defilement of flesh and spirit. Manifest in us, O God, the spirit and life of Jesus. Manifest in us, O God, the realities, O God, that will enable us, O God, to see all things as you have revealed them to us, Lord. Enable us to see, enable us to hear, enable us to understand, enable us to know. Enable us, O God, to live what you have given us in your word. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Fundamentally, God's word is given to us so that we will have a reality. God's word is meant to be given to us so that we will have a reality of that word manifested in our lives, manifested in our spheres of influence, manifested in all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. The word of God contains a reality that God has ordained. Many Christians can memorize the word of God and repeat it. That is not what the word of God is. The word of God is the reality that that verse contains. And that reality that is contained in the word has to be manifested through our lives. The purpose of the word is not to just unveil knowledge. The purpose of the word is to manifest life, manifest character, manifest attitudes, manifest a whole thinking process, a whole life process. The word of God is powerful. It contains a reality that God has given. In the book of Genesis, God says that he created the world. The word creation is meant to be a reality. The world system says evolution. And that too carries a reality. It carries a reality that says that, you know, there are no rules by which we live. We just do whatever we feel like doing, and what we think is right because we have evolved from something and we are going somewhere. It is a reality. And it's a reality that has got consequences. But if you are a created being, then you belong to God and you are subject to God, and therefore there is a moral code that is dependent on God's will and purpose. Realities are very important. One of the reasons that so many Christians are not growing is that they don't understand that difference. They think that if they can memorize and repeat the word of God, they have somehow or other done the right thing. Or they think that if they can understand the principle, they have understood what God is saying. God didn't give us the word so as to unveil a principle. God gave the word so that that principle will become life to us. It will become the means by which we can see how God wants us to live. That we will draw a reality from God through that principle. It is so important that we understand this, because if we don't, then we will do things in our own strength. The purpose of the word is so that we will learn how to do things by God. See, life is not trying your best. In the world system, we learn to try our best. We tell our children they should try their best. Everybody tries their best. Obviously, our best is not working. Obviously, our best does not give us the right kind of solutions. All of us know that experientially in our lives. You can work hard, you can study hard, you can play hard, but sheer hard work and dedication somehow or other does not seem to give answers to life. There seems to be something that is missing. The reality has to flow from God. You are created in order to realize realities that flow from God, realities that are sustained by God. That's what, as Christians, we are called to realize and minister. So if you are called to be something in the body of Christ, and all of us are called to be something in the body of Christ, the substance and essence of that calling is so that you will realize something of God, and it will flow through your life according to that calling, and it will be manifested in your life accordance with that calling. We are all called to be human beings. We are all called to be sons of God. We are all called to be a royal priesthood. We are all called to learn how to handle authority, responsibility. We are also called to do specific things in the body of Christ. Now, in being called to do something, God is telling you something. He's telling that you need to receive something from Him and you need to express it through your life. See, very often in Christian circles, we think that if we take that principle and we work hard at it, that's what God's talking about. That's not what God's talking about. God's not talking about you and me trying our best to do something. God is talking about you and me receiving something from Him and expressing it through our lives in a freedom and a liberty, without struggling, without competing. Without simply working it in the flesh. God wants us to live by Him, to live in Him, to live through Him. The Word is designed to manifest that. The Word is designed to manifest that. When God gave the Word as a law, the people of God were unable to commune with God. They failed. In the Christian church too, so many parts of the church are not where they are supposed to be. Many have lost their way. Many don't even know what is right and wrong anymore. What have we lost? Has the book that we read changed? Have the manuscripts of the book changed? No, they have not. What has changed? What has changed is that we are no longer looking at God for those things that come from God. We are trying to live the book in our best. And you can't live the book in your best. It won't work. It has never worked. It will never work. So when you read the Bible and God says, I love you, you must principally understand that it's not head knowledge that God loves you. You must actually know God loves you. And it must result in your behavior, that your behavior demonstrates that God loves you. That when you talk to somebody, the fact that God loves you must talk through your words to that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not to repeat like a parrot, God loves you. The Bible says God loves you. That's great. But doesn't achieve anything. If the love of God does not flow out of what we say and do, we know nothing about what God is actually saying. Just because you can write a treatise on the word agape, which is love, doesn't mean anything. Unless you live it. If you say, Lord, I love you, then that word, I love you, Lord, has to be translated in I love my neighbor too. Reality. The Word of God is designed to make us come forth as a new creation, living by God in a freedom and liberty where we flow by the Holy Spirit into the things of God. That we live by the intelligence of God. That's why wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. That's why knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. The knowledge system of the world says God is irrelevant. The wisdom of the world says that God is just somebody somewhere, if He exists at all. But the Bible comes back and the Bible says that if you have any kind of knowledge, it has to flow out of the fear of God. If you don't fear God, you don't have any knowledge, you're a fool. If you don't fear God, you've got absolutely no wisdom. That's what the Bible is saying. You know nothing and you can do nothing, right? And there will be nothing that comes out of your life that is worth anything. Your life, at the sum of it all, will be a waste of time. Because it will be wholly unsustainable. Of what use is it to do something that is not going to last? Of what use is it to do something that is only going to last from point A to point B? Once you go past point B, it doesn't exist anymore. So the Bible talks about continuity. God talks about blessings, and he talks about blessings, not just blessings to Abraham, but to Abraham and his generations. That in his generations, Abraham will be blessed. So God is talking about continuity. Man does not understand continuity. Man thinks it is what he does now that matters. No, it's not what you do now. It is what will be there in 100 years' time. It is what is going to be flowing out of what you have done that counts. But you can only understand that if you walk by the Holy Spirit. So when God gives you a calling, you need to understand that you need to realize that calling through God, by God. Because if you realize that calling in your own flesh, that calling is never going to do what God wants it to do. So many are called in the body of Christ. So many are called. All are called. So many don't even begin to understand what it means to answer God's call. So many just do their best and think that by doing their best they have done something. That's not what it is all about. When we worship the Lord, what are we worshiping God for? So that he will manifest himself to us. So that we will come alive to him. So that we will be refreshed by him even as we minister to him. There's a whole world, a whole universe of reality in worshiping God. We have to discover that. We have to minister that. You can preach a sermon, you can prepare notes and you can preach a sermon. The question is, will your sermon communicate the heart of God or not? Not that you can preach a sermon or not. Any fool can sit down and quote 5 verses in the Bible and write out an essay. But that doesn't mean that anybody will learn anything out of it or anyone will be blessed by it. It is not the letter of the word that is going to save the world. It is the spirit and life of Jesus that is going to minister to the world, right? If the spirit and life of Jesus is not communicated, we have done nothing. Just because we quote scripture doesn't mean we are saying something that is going to be of any value to anybody. That's why in the New Testament so much of emphasis is given to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the person of God that makes all things work. All things have final meaning. God the Father ordains, God the Son or God the Word describes it, the Holy Spirit brings it to life. If something of the Word of God does not live in us and live through us, we don't know it. You can sit down, take a verse in the Bible and write all kinds of airy-fairy intellectual stuff out of the Bible. It doesn't mean anything. It won't save anybody, it will not help anybody. Because if something does not communicate God, it has got no life, because God alone is life. And if God is not communicated, there is no life in anything we do. It's all dead. And because it is dead, it does not have a continuity. It does not bring the blessing that it's supposed to bring. Because man says God is irrelevant in his knowledge systems, all of man's knowledge systems ultimately fail. Oh yes, we may have comforts, but there is a cost to all of those comforts. There is no balance in our systems of thought and our systems of life. Everything is in an imbalance. And in the end, everything does not hold. It is non-sustainable. No matter how successful you are, you will find that that is true through life. So when you look at the Word of God, what are you looking at? What are you searching for? You're searching for what God is willing to give you, what God is willing to bring alive to you. And ultimately, what God is willing to bring out through you. If you can find God in your marriage, you can bring out God through your marriage. There is a testimony that your marriage has that will bear witness of what God is able to do with you. And that has got meaning, that has got value. If you have done something that only boasts of what you have done, it's of no value. Nobody can live by it. Who can live by what Alexander the Great did? But everyone can live by everything that Paul did. Why? Because what Paul did, God was involved in. Do you understand the difference? Moses gave the Ten Commandments, and those Ten Commandments became the basis of all law that makes sense. The moment the systems of the world started rejecting that which was based on the Ten Commandments, you begin to see chaos enter into human society. Because there is no balance to the law anymore, because that law was given by God. And there is a level at which God will function in that application of that law. So when you read the scriptures, God is asking you to take hold of the reality, pursue the reality. We pray by the Spirit so that we can realize the realities of the word. You answer God's call so that through that call, some aspect of this word will come alive through you. If you are an evangelist, that people will find salvation. If you are an evangelist, that people will find healing. If you are a pastor, that people will find a basis to live. People will find a basis in which to raise families. People will find a basis in which to make sense out of their own lives. If you are a prophet, then God wants you to flow in such a way that you will speak words that will encourage people, build people, correct people, give them direction, show them what God has purposed over their life. If you're an apostle of the Lord, God wants you to lay foundations so that ultimately human society will be built. If you're a teacher, God wants you to teach so that people will understand how things function, how things work. So that they will understand what it is that makes sense before God. If you're a worshipper, if you're a worship leader, your purpose is not to sing songs. Your purpose is to make sure that people can come into the presence of God. We are all not called to do all things. We can only do some things. No matter how anointed you and I are, we are called to do some things. We are all called to be sons of God. We are all called to be sons of God in different ways. Men are called to be sons of God in one way, women are called to be sons of God in another way. And individual women are called to be sons of God in different ways. See, all of us have a sphere of influence that God wants us to develop. We can't be everything, we cannot be anything we want to be. We can only be what God wants us to be. Why does God insist on that? Because He's designed all things to live symbiotically. In the church, He wants us to understand that we are a community that lives together. All of us have a role to play. And each person's role is an important role. Each person's role is a crucial role for the growth of the body of Christ. See, traditionally we have run the church by just the clergy doing things, but that's not what God is looking for. God is looking for a whole church working. So all of us have to find out what exactly God has called us to do and what God has called us not to do. And you must know the difference. Know exactly where God is anointed you, and know where exactly God has not anointed you to do something. What is anointing? Anointing is the enabling of God. If you can flow and are enabled to flow, that is where God wants you to be. If you can't flaw and you're just working your best, that's not what God's called you to be. So get out of it. And you need to know that. You need to know what your boundaries are. Now God over time may change those boundaries. God over time may expand the calling, that He can expand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of what He has called you to be. But it's entirely dependent on what He has called you to be. There is no doubt that all of us will be transfigured as we answer God's call over our lives. As we realize what God has called us to be, we will not be what we are doing now in a 10,000 years time or 100,000 years time. We will be living in a totally different reality. We'll be functioning in a totally different reality. But God wants us to answer, understand that there are boundaries that He has defined for each one of our lives. There are boundaries He has defined for us. His boundaries He has defined for our children. Boundaries He's defined for each and every individual. We need to appreciate each other's boundaries and respect each other's boundaries and appreciate and give opportunities for each other to grow. We cannot dominate. Because that's not what God called us to do. We are here to build. To understand the goodness of God, you have to learn to be a builder. You have to learn how to be an encourager. You have to learn how to be a healer. You have to learn how to build relationships. You've got to learn how to respect what God has called another person to be. You have to learn that. That person may not be your child, that person may not be of your race, but if God has called that person to stand there, that's where that person needs to be, and you need to facilitate that. Why? Because God has said so. We are not in competition with each other. We will be blessed by each other realizing our best, because God's provision is infinite. God has got no boundaries. His grace knows no boundaries. His provision knows no boundaries. His love knows no boundaries. He is an infinite God. He is an all-sustaining God. So it's very crucial for us to understand that we are dependent on God, and we need to understand what He has called us to do. When we raise up our children, we must also appreciate what God has called them to do. We've got to facilitate them growing into those things that God has called them to become. Parenthood is not simply feeding them and sending them to school and paying the bills and make sure they have enough to go to university. Any fool can do that. But you are called to raise up men and women of God who will stand in heavenly places one day, able to know God, able to function by God, able to stand by God. It's a great task. It's a great skill to raise up people like that. In the Church of Jesus Christ, I see my role as seeing people grow into what God has for them. The Word of God is talking about big things, things that are so far beyond our intelligence. Huge things, humongous things, things that are going to be everlasting, things that are going to stand the test of time, things that are going to transcend death and destruction. Everlasting realities, realities that will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow forever and ever and ever. Things that the human mind cannot conceptualize. Human reality does not know what something that lasts forever. The world that we live in, everything is dying. Yet we think we know something. What do we know when we don't know how to live? Yet people write theses and they write and they make expositions and they think they know something. What do you know when you can't ensure you live tomorrow? Reality. Eternal life. That's an amazing reality. But so many of us behave as if we are in a time warp, that everything in our lives is time denominated. If I don't behave like a rat and grab it, it's going to pass me by. So many of us live like that. That's not how God wants us to live. God wants us to understand that if He has given you something, He's given it to you. Your job is to find out what it is, receive it, realize it, and express it. Nobody can steal it away from you. If He's called your son to stand somewhere, that's where your son is going to stand. Anything that is not of that plan will never stand. You can try your best. You can pull all the cables and strings you want from here to Timbuktu. It's not going to change anything before God. That's where He is going to stand. If He doesn't want to stand there, then He will be nowhere. That applies to you, it applies to me. Yeah? Sobering thoughts, isn't it? So, you know, what God has ordained is what there will be ultimately. Man can do whatever he wants. We can play the politics, we can run the organizations that we want. In the end, only what God wants is going to be there. Nothing else is going to be there. That's what this book is all about. It's telling you that. It's telling you the history of mankind. That's why Revelation was written. In the end, there will be new heavens and the new earth. In the end, only a bride will reign. In the end, it is the bride that will manifest the healing of the nations. In the end, there will be a massive judgment and a destruction. Because God will judge evil and He will destroy evil. Now you can stand up and shout and scream that I will not allow that. Good luck to you. You may be president of the United States. You may be the president of the future United States of Europe, whatever it is. Whatever you say and want and demand, you may think you have power. It only exists within point A and point B. After that, you are irrelevant. So if you don't get in line with God, you will always be from point A to point B. Because beyond point B, it is all God. Only God decides whether point B carries on forever or not. Reality. So God wants us to understand that our lives are in His hands. So work towards what God has given you. Work towards finding what God has given you. Work by the Spirit of God. Work in the name of Jesus. Work asking God to tell you what He has called you to be. Don't be confined to this world, because this world is passing away. You know it experientially. Haven't you watched your father and your mother and your grandfather and your grandmother die? So why do you live as if you're going to live forever in this world? You are not. But God tells you there is another kind of citizenship. And He says, I can prove that citizenship to you by bringing change in your life, by bringing new realities in your life, realities that I will sustain inside of you with love and joy and peace. And you can know that this is not of me. It is something that has been given to me by God, and it is real. It is tangible. I can live by it. I can grow by it. And I will be blessed by it. Even in my deathbed, I will be blessed by it. I will not die because I am fearful. I will die in a peace that passeth all understanding. I will know that I have a future. And nobody can take that away from me. Why? Because it is something that is given to you by God. It is sustained by God. It will take you through the transition from life in the natural to life in the hereafter. So we are in church, we are here hearing and understanding and receiving God's word, so that God's word will teach us something of that which will remain. There will be a flow of life into us. As ministers of God's word, there will be a flow of life. As people who function in the gifts of God, there will be a flow of the life of God that manifests through us. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of things for us to receive and realize. Understand what you are called to do, and don't walk outside what you are called to do. Know and understand that God starts with something and He will develop something in your life. Listen to what God has for you. Don't step outside of it. You're wasting your time. Worse still, you will waste a lot of other people's lives as well. You cannot be a pastor if you're not called to be a pastor. If you're called to be an evangelist, you're called to be an evangelist. When an evangelist tries to be a pastor, he makes a terrible pastor. When an evangelist tries to be a teacher, he starts teaching things that are not right. They don't add up. What happens when you start teaching things that don't add up? You start sending people on a wild goose chase. You start wasting their lives. It's not a game. If you're called to be an elder, you're called to pastor people. You're called to shepherd people. It doesn't take a genius to understand that the people of God need so many shepherds. So you have to work cooperatively with others. You can't work in a vacuum and say, I'm the only anointed man around. You're not. It can never be like that. If it was like that, we're all finished. You're anointed to stand in ministry so that others will also be anointed through you to stand in ministry. So we are called in the Bible to minister to one another. Why does it say minister to one another? Why does a pastor himself need ministry? Because we all need ministry. I have people in my own presbytery in KL who minister to me. I may be their pastor, but they minister to me. They speak good words into my life. They encourage me when I feel down. They pray for me. They can pick up when things are not right. Why would they spend time praying for me? Because God called them to stand in the gap and pray for me. Why? Because we are all one body. Can you imagine a body that is only full of hands? What a ridiculous looking body it will be. Or you have a body that is all head and nothing else. Good grief, it will be a pretty helpless body, isn't it? Or can you imagine a body that has got no toes? If you watch a person who has got toes missing and watch how they walk, so we all need to understand that there is a balance, reality. God's talking about reality and balance. And we have to know that balance. We have to know our part to play in the overall scheme of things. You must understand that you have a role to play, and you must play that role the right way and play it well. If you play the role the right way, it will always be a minister's role. A minister's role is a servant's role. It is by serving that you learn how to lead. It is by serving that you come to appreciate people's needs. Then when you reign, you will know what people need. So we are always servant kings. So when the word of God says you are a son, yes, you are a son. Yes, you have a throne that you're going to reign on. But you're not going to reign in the same way that the people of the world reign. The model that God has, the reality of a son in the scriptures, is sonship that comes out of being a bondservant. So Paul will say, I am an apostle of the Lord and a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Yes, I have high office. I'm standing in high office, the highest office God can give. But I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Titus. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. According to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Interesting, isn't it? According to the faith of God's elect, because God's elect is not just himself. He's talking about God's elect that is in the body of Christ, correct? So he says, my position, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a bondservant of God, but I'm standing where I am by the faith of the elect of God. Isn't that amazing? That he's not occupying a position because of his own brilliance. That's what he's trying to tell us. Huh? See, many of us think we occupy a position because we have paid the price. Here he's saying, according to the faith of the elect of God. Interesting, isn't it? I am where I am because others have prayed for me, because others have invested good things into my life, because others have spoken good things into my life, because others have blessed me, because others have fed me, because others have provided for me, because others have prayed for me, others have fasted for me, others have covered my life with their prayer. And I am standing in high office. It's not like the world, isn't it? It's a totally different reality. Now, if you read that from the point of view of a world system, then you will always think, my goodness, apostle, that means I'm going to lord it over everybody else. But that's not what an apostle is all about. Let's look at Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Again, bondservant. What is a bondservant? One who has surrendered his rights to Jesus Christ. Yes, I hold a high office. Now, why would a guy want to be bondservant? Because he knows that what God has for him is far more valuable than what he can have for himself. That what God instructs him to do is going to bless him far more than what he would want to do himself. That's what the thinking is behind it. If I do what God tells me to do, I will be blessed infinitely more by the whole reality than simply trying to do what I want to do. See, many people are afraid of the will of God. The apostles are saying, we stand in high office simply because we are bondservants of the Lord. Because he is going to sustain us in that high office. He's going to make that office work in my life. Lucifer, on the other hand, said, I can raise myself wherever I want to go. Totally different thinking processes. How do you think? Now, all of us have a part of us that says, I can do anything I want to set my mind to. But the Bible says, through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. Yes. The two are not the same. How do you function? How do you want to stand in your ministry? I know one thing, and I know it right down. It's ingrained in my thinking that whatever God has called me to do, only he knows how to bring it forth. It is there inside of me, like rock hard, rock steady. That whatever God has called me to do is not dependent on what I can do. I know that. I know that more than I know my life. Because God taught me well. And I want to communicate that to you. That as we start building a community of believers, as we start thinking of expanding different kinds of ministries, you must understand this. Only God understands what you are called to do. Only God understands it. So don't think you can answer God's call by just out of religious zeal, out of zeal. You'll never make the grade. You're just digging a grave for yourself. You're digging a lot of pain for yourself. Because that which is not of God, he will demolish. He has to do it, guys. How can you build an altar that does not stand in God's name? He has to demolish it, isn't it? You don't have to be a genius to understand that. So learn how to do it the right way. Because if you learn how to do it the wrong way has to come down. It's pointless saying, I want to do it this way because I want to do it this way. Because I think this is the way it should be done. It doesn't matter what you think and what I think, brother. It's what he thinks that counts. Life has taught us all that, huh? Hopefully you young people will not have to learn the same kind of difficult lessons we learned. But so many adults refuse to learn that. So Paul continues and he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. What does he say? Who have obtained. That means we have received it. What is he saying? I stand as an apostle and bondservant of God, and it is because of a faith that I have received. The same kind of faith as everyone else. And I've received it by the righteousness of my God and Savior Jesus Christ. He has come to the end of his life, Peter. He's going to go to the Lord. He knows that. And he's trying to say what it is that has made him. And he's saying, it is the righteousness of my God. It's not my hard work. It is not because I'm a better guy than the other guys. It is because my God has brought forth what he has ordained in his righteousness. In the faith that he has nurtured and given me. By the righteousness of my God, I am able to stand here where I'm standing here. So get it right, guys, all right? Now we can be parents in our own strength, and parents are shepherds. And in raising up your children, you are learning how to build the kingdom of God. Don't think parenthood is some simple, airy-fairy thing. It is not about running from one tuition to the other tuition, brother. Or cooking nice meals. It's not about that. It's about what your children are going to become. It is how they are going to stand before God. That is what counts. We major in the minors and we flunk in the majors. What is God's ambition over your son, brother? You are a father. Yes, I know you love your son. But what is God's ambition over your son? Don't mistake your ambition for your son with God's ambition for your son, because the two don't look the same at all. Do you know God has a great ambition over your life? If you don't know that, you can't tell it to your son either. It's not about being not ready, sister. Yes, but it's in the Word of God. Live the Word and you know that God has a great ambition. Yeah? God has a great ambition over your life. Don't you know that? You are a son unto God. What does that mean? You are God's own son. You are your father's son or your father's daughter. If your father was a rich and powerful man, your position as a son is a pretty powerful position. Now, if your father is God himself, the almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, you have some pretty big life to live, isn't it? Do you understand? That's what God wants you to say. We all say we are sons of God without meaning. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Huh? Some small thing, you know, so and so discriminates against your son, you go to war. What are you going to war about? The real issues of life are not what a government does or what policies are in place or what opportunities are available for your children. In God, all things are there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. God can pluck up and God can tear down and God can appoint, and nobody is going to change that. You are God's chosen. Do you know that or not? Have you heard that? Do you even begin to understand that? So why are you worried about what the next person may owe? He's taking an opportunity from me. Nobody can take what God has given you. It is written in the Word of God that the callings and giftings of God are irrevocable. Only you can muck it up. The devil can't do anything about it. All he will do is screw your thinking up so that you will muck it up. That's all. So Paul writes that the callings and giftings of God over the people of Israel are still there. They just don't want it. What to do? The callings and giftings of God on the Christian church are astonishing, but Christians are not interested. That's what is so absurd. We will mortgage our half our life savings to get a medical degree. But we won't even fast one day to get closer to God. Where is the logic? You tell me. Where is the logic? But brother, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You don't even understand that, people? Do you understand what that means? That whosoever should believe in him will be saved. Be saved and become what? Be saved and become sons of God. Be inheritors of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What else do you want? So why are we in the rat race when you are blessed with every spiritual blessing? Just teach your children to trust in God and just go ahead. They will succeed. God will bless them. God will give them favor. God will protect them. God will be with them. God will be their rock and their defense. What else do you want? But look at how we live. Some minister says something and we get worked up. Government passes some policy that discriminates against us and we get worked up. What are you getting worked up about? Your future does not depend on any government anywhere in the world. That's what I'm talking about, the reality of God's word. Do you know that you are blessed? Some of us look so sorry. Huh? Go and stand outside a church at the end of a service and look at all the unhappy faces that come out after service. After supposedly having worshipped the Most High God, they come up with all kinds of frowns on their faces. Even as the guy steps out of the church, he's scolding his wife. What a sorry sight we are. Why? Because it does not register. We have to learn how to do things differently. We have to learn how to do things differently. We have to respond. Look at verse 2. This man is going to die. Peter is going to die. And he also knows he's going to be crucified. Look at what he says in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What is he saying? As you come to know God, grace and peace will be multiplied to you. What is so powerful about grace? Through grace you can do anything. You can realize anything. Because faith, grace is a communication of the faith and love of Jesus. Just imagine if you had the faith and love of Jesus working in your life, what you can be. And he's saying grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So you can read that 100 times. If you don't appreciate what he's saying, you will just keep on repeating that like a parrot. You're not called to be a parrot. Do you know that? But so many of us repeat the word of God as if we are parrots. That word of God is supposed to be performed in you creatively. Powerful. So when you speak that word of God over your children, it will do far more good than you chasing the kid around with a plate of rice and poor kid, 20 pounds overweight, and you're chasing him around as if he is starving or something like that. Every feeding time is about a two and a half hour exercise in the love of a mother. What love is that? Put the food there. If he doesn't eat, let him starve. He will come and eat. That's a father's love. He thinks straight. Why are you wasting your time? Go and sit down and pray for the kid. And the kid is 20 pounds overweight, and we are chasing around him. Poor fella has not eaten, you know. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, all things given by the power of God. But how do we function? By our power. So the key is this, Lord, how can I study in your strength? How can I study with your wisdom and your understanding? I give you my brain. Give me, O Lord, the mind of Christ. Teach me how to do things in your strength and your power. Teach me how to do something. Teach me how to live by you. Teach me how to grow by you. Teach me how I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean, Holy Spirit? God doesn't want you to get up every morning and dutifully read one chapter. For what purpose are you reading that one chapter? To fulfill a religious obligation? If you pick up one verse and you pray that one verse and you ask God to expound that one verse in your life and through your life, that verse will go on in your life, growing in your life forever. What's the point of going through a religious obligation and reading one chapter of the Bible? For what use? Who is going to be pleased by it? Why do you pray? You pray so that you can be blessed and be a blessing. Two things are necessary. You have to pray for yourself so that you can be blessed, and you have to release prayer over other people so that other people can be blessed. Because in order for you to be blessed some more, you have to be willing to bless. Otherwise, there's no purpose in you being blessed. So prayer is always two ways. Yes, there is a place for prayer for you, I, me, my, and mine, okay? Up to a point. But what you have got in I, me, my, and mine has to be released into them, them, those, them, whatever. Right? It has to be given. If you don't give it, you're not going to be blessed. Because God's ordained that way. It is always going to be like that. It's got a flaw. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water. If you don't want to give those rivers of living water and let them flow into other people's life, then those rivers of living water are going to be dammed inside of you, and they are going to explode inside of you, and you will die. So you have to give. Receiving from God is important, but equally important is releasing what He gives you. Because if what He gives you does not flow out of you, what He gives you, that aspect of what He gives you, cannot grow in you. Because what God begins to give you is something that is infinite, because it has got infinite potential. So if you don't release it, it cannot grow. Reality. So for you to be blessed in the kingdom of God, you must be a blessing. Not, I don't like his face. That's not what God is talking about. You have to be a blessing. If you are not a blessing, then we become a curse. Everything involves choices. Understand what God is giving you. When he says and gives a promise to Abraham, and he says, your sons will be like the stars. Understand that you are inheritors of the promises of Abraham. In and by and through Jesus Christ. Because of who Jesus is, you are inheritors of such promises. The heavenly places are beyond concept of human technology. We can write all kinds of fancy stuff. We still think that we can send spaceships from here to there and we can people the planets. We're talking nonsense. Because God means for us to travel in a totally different way. God means for us to travel in His light. God means for us to travel in His thoughts. Can you think, can you understand that God can cause you to translate from here to there by thought? It has happened in the scripture. So and so was taken from here, it was manifested there. Yeah. So when the Bible says God is light, he's talking about a tremendous reality. That everything that is light must flow out of who God is. So we talk of distances in light years. So who do you think has got the answer for all those light years? Who can transcend light years at the speed of thought? That's God's thought. But you and I can hook into God's thoughts, isn't it? That's why Jesus said, when he, the Spirit, comes. Right? Let's hear that. Let's read that. It's a passage we read all the time about being born again. John 3. Verse 8. First, in verse 5, he gives us the condition. He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a totally different reality. You can only enter it through water. What is water? The Spirit and life of Jesus Christ himself. What is Spirit? The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And then he says, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. Now, in the Old Testament, Ruach is the Spirit of God. When the spirit of the man leaves the man, he is dead. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What is he saying? Where the wind blows, that's where you will move. Why? Because you are totally free in God. And you can go as the wind blows. Isn't that freedom? There's a whole bunch of things hidden inside of here. Because God is Spirit, and God expresses himself spirit-wise. And if we can flow in his Spirit, there are a whole universe of reality that is open to us. So God expresses thoughts through his Spirit. So if God expresses thoughts, you can translate in those thoughts. Think of the possibilities. It's awesome. Very powerful. So many things to look forward to. But because we, in our knowledge, our pursuit of knowledge dismisses God and says God is irrelevant, we cannot understand things like this. One day there may be a whole bunch of us doing ministry and we are just translated at the speed of thought from here to Timbuktu and we can do ministry in Timbuktu. Timbuktu is in the country of one of the Saharan countries. And I think it is Mali or something like that in Africa. Timbuktu, I think it's Mali or something like that. One of those countries there in the north central part of Africa. North, south, east, in the west. That whole part of the Sahara Desert, somewhere along there is a place called Timbuktu. It's a real place. Yeah. And you know, then you don't need papers and all that. You can just go there, preach an evening sermon and come back. I'm going that way, you know. Yeah, praise the Lord. Someone prophesied that over my life. And I think two or three different people prophesied that over my life. So as I look at my body decaying, I keep that there. And I say, Lord, you want me to go to ministry? Yeah, let's go to America today and preach a sermon in some church somewhere. Huh? You write a letter, email, and say, I'll be there this evening to preach the evening service. Yeah, and you just translate at the speed of thought. Why not? Don't have to go through jet lag and, you know, sitting down in long plane flights. Good stuff, that. Think outside the box, we say. Yeah, think in the Spirit of God. All these things are real. Jesus walked on water. Hello, that was real. How on earth do you walk on water? By the laws of science, it is impossible. But by the Spirit of God, all things are possible. Through Christ who strengthens me. Why didn't he say through Jesus who strengthens me? Because Christ who strengthens you in spirit terms, right? Christ means the anointed one. Right? It is through the Spirit of Christ that he brings forth that reality. So Jesus said, greater things than these you will all do in my name. See, but we are all thinking in the box. We put ourselves in the box. Hopefully we can bring God inside the box as well. And make sure he doesn't get out of the box too. Huh? It's time to get out of that box, isn't it? Time to get out of that box. Amen. So many things in the Bible, actually very interesting things. Very exciting things, actually. Ezekiel being taken from here to there and excellent stuff. Yeah, praise the Lord. So, the Lord is speaking to us reality. This book is about reality. The reality that God has for you. We can say, I am blessed. There is an enormous promise. But what does the promise mean, guys? What does the promise mean? You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We just sit down there and we repeat that like parrots. There is meaning to that. But you've got to open this book. Right? Let's look at another passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. First part of that verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For whose glory? For our glory. What is this wisdom? Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So what is the qualification? You need to love the Lord your God. And that's why I emphasize that relationship with God. And I emphasize that that relationship with God can only be realized as you express that love for God into people's lives. If you discriminate against human beings, it just tells you clearly that you don't love God. If you in your ministry play favorites between people, then you don't love God. It's as simple as that. So if you don't love God, all these things cannot open to you. Why? Because you will misuse them. Is that true? Yes. Look at Lucifer. Look at 1/3 of the angels that fell with him. Didn't God love them? Yes, he loved them, but they didn't love God. Look how much of destruction it has caused. How much of chaos it has caused. Why did God allow it? Simply because somewhere along the line, the creation had to understand what evil is like. Because we are free will creatures. You know, there are certain passages of scripture in the Bible that talk about an earlier civilization on planet Earth that was destroyed because of Lucifer's rebellion. You know, Dakes did a lot of work researching that and bringing it out. If you read the Dakes study Bible, you will see some of those verses. And it's amazing. When you put those verses together, how much of destruction was caused because this angel fell? People died. Nations were destroyed. Between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there's a whole universe between that. It's an undefined period of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the next verse, you see that there was a mess on the earth. If God created the heavens and the earth, why was the earth in a mess? Something happened between that time. The book of Ezekiel says there was once an angel who fell. The book of Isaiah says there was an angel who fell. The book of Jeremiah talks about cities being destroyed. The book of Isaiah talks about how he brought destruction to nations. Even as he fell. Now when he fell, there were nations. But where were these nations? Between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. And so many people were destroyed. So lessons to be learned. We have to learn them and walk into them. The Bible talks about reality. God's way is the only way. That's why I am is the way of the truth and the life. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that as we read your word, that we will understand that the things that you have in this word, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, all that you have for those who love you. And in order for us to realize these treasures that are hidden in your word, we need to love you, Lord. If we love you, Lord, there is a whole universe that's awaiting discovery, Lord. A universe of love that Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18 describes as the length, the breadth, the height and the depth. That is to be filled with all the fullness of God. And that reality is to be open to each one of us who are called to be sons of God. What are you talking about, Lord? Only by walking with you can we understand. Only by walking in the intimacy of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus can we realize those realities. So as we stand today, Lord, it is so important for us, O God, to know that we need to love you in order for everything in our lives to begin to make some sense, Lord. In order to get out of this black hole of hatred in this world and iniquity and death and destruction in this world, we need to know that love that flows from your heart. It needs to flow into us and it needs to flow out of us, because if it does not flow out of us, then we will not understand what the real meaning of what you're giving us is. Because everything ultimately has to be expressed through us, Lord. We have to live your abundance, or we will not appreciate what you have given us. So teach us to understand this very fundamental principle of the reality of walking by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Jesus came and he gave everything in order that everything that will ultimately reveal the creation would be given to him in turn, Father. And so as we stand as members of the body of Christ, we too must learn how to give in order to receive and realize the wealth of your heart, Father. So you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we need to understand that that is a reality that we have to realize from you, Lord. It is not of our intellect. It is not of our abilities. It is something that is entirely of you. And as we receive that which is of you, everything within us will be transfigured in the light of your life. So bless the church of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we will truly walk into this reality and manifest that which will be a blessing all around us, Lord. That as we learn how to walk into the simple ministries you have given us, teach us to be faithful to the small beginnings that you have given us, Lord. Because it is so important that we learn how to be faithful. It is so important that we learn how to do things the right way. It is so important for us to be able to distinguish between what we are called and what we are not called to do. It is so important for us to understand that your will is what separates light and darkness, Lord. That if we transgress your will, we are at the speed of thought in the realm of darkness. And we don't want that darkness, because it has brought death and destruction in our lives. We have experienced it, we have been immersed in it, we have been trapped in it. But now we are released. Let us not go back to that kind of living. Let us not go back to that kind of thinking. Let us not go back, O God, to that kind of behavior. Correct us, mold us, shape us. Do not let us sin against you, Father. Save us, O God, by your name. Vindicate us by your power. David cried out to you for that. We too cry out to you for that, Lord, because we need you to enable us to live. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That you mean to perseveringly develop in each one of our lives. For what you have achieved, we bless you. For what you have achieved, we thank you. For what you are going to achieve, Father, we want to worship you and bless you, Father, with gratitude that you're willing to work with us, Lord. And because you are going to work with us, Lord, we know we cannot fail, Lord. We thank you for that reality in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, grow in you. May the realities of the Lord your God manifest in your heart. May they grow. And may you truly release those realities through your life, through your words, through your deeds. that all may see that the living God, He reigns in you. That the living God, He has blessed you. That the living God, He has called you. That the living God is the one in whom you live, move, and have your being. Be blessed, therefore. Go forth. Be a blessing always in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.